bless and appreciate my dear friend and brother, Pastor Nathaniel, his dear wife. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Such an amazing and a truly humble man of God. I love you with all my heart and thank you so much for this opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ. Just like he was saying whilst he was upstage here, it truly is a privilege to serve the purposes of God. And we thank God for some of the blessings that we receive while we serve, but make no mistakes about it. God is God all by himself. It is a privilege to be part of the things that we do, and that he's able to use us the way he uses us, it's an honor. You know, we do some of these things not as eye service, but we make it public to also mentor a generation coming. Are we together? It's not enough to just keep quiet and say I'm humble. It's important we present a template so that a generation will learn that you must be vocal about acknowledging the lordship of Jesus Christ. He says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw. Hallelujah. Pride is a killer. Pride is a destroyer. It destroys anything at all. Hallelujah. So one more time, let's bless the Lord for his choice servant. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands to heaven and ask the Lord for a very definite encounter by his word? Go ahead and pray. Father, give me an encounter tonight by your word. An encounter in the name of Jesus by your word. King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, we worship you. You're the King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, I worship you. Very simple song. The King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, I worship you. One more time. King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God. Praise the bread of life, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who saves. We praise the cup of life, that glorious spring that washes our sins away. Father, we bless you. Speak to our hearts, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Psalm 102, then we'll read verse 13. I'll be teaching tonight on times and seasons. Psalms 102 and verse 13. Let me begin by encouraging our hearts that the strength of the believer in this kingdom is the degree and the extent of light that you have. The extent of your spiritual illumination is where your strength is derived from. Hallelujah. When a believer does not have high level spiritual illumination, You will be around spiritual things, but you will never have the power to enjoy the blessings that come. So conferences like this, like I would always observe, is an opportunity for us to be exposed to the light, the various dimensions of the light of the kingdom. Hallelujah. When we have high level illumination and we understand the speakings of God, then we can connect our faith with understanding. Then it will produce for us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Tonight's teaching will bless you, and I pray that your heart be opened in the name of Jesus. Let's read together Psalm 102 and verse 13. Ready? One, two, read. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Let's read the B part together. For the time, ready? One, two, read. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time. Hallelujah. The Bible records that Jesus wept two times, principally as revealed in scripture. The first time he wept was in John chapter 11, when he was at the grave of Lazarus. When he was told that Lazarus was gone, he cried, and oh, how he loved him. In John 11:35, the Bible says Jesus wept, and then they said, oh, how that he loved him. He wept as an expression of his love and compassion that he had for Lazarus. The second time he would weep was in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we'll begin our reading from verse 42. Luke 19:42. The Bible says that he stood over Jerusalem and he began to weep. And he said, if thou hast known, even in this thy day, the things that belong unto your peace, he says, for now they are your eyes. Let's jump for the sake of time to 44. The Bible says that they will go through all these things, these negative things. It says, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Hallelujah. He wept because many things would pass them by. They would become victims of life, victims of all kinds of demonic oppressions. And he says, simply because you did not know the time of your visitation. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, a popular scripture, 1 Chronicles 12, 32, it says, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. This was the advantage they had over their brethren, that they could discern times, they could discern seasons. It says, to know what Israel ought to do. And the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. May that be your testimony. Jesus. Now, God designed, in fact, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let me show you something before I begin to teach. Genesis chapter 1, please. What we know as the creation story now. Verse 14, Genesis 1 verse 14. The Bible says, please give us verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, help me, for seasons, for days, and for years. So God made light, and he used those lights to divide seasons. That immediately tells you that our activities on earth is a function of times and seasons. Please write it down if you must write. As far as our work on earth is concerned, we subscribe to the law of times and seasons. That means that everything you do on earth must be done in time and must be done with respect to time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the preacher gave us a greater perspective, and he said, to everything, say everything. One more time, please. To everything there is a season. Just stop there. Please look very carefully. To everything. When the Bible says to everything, it means there is nothing under the earth that will defy the law of times and seasons. To everything there is a season. Hallelujah. And a time for every purpose under the earth. Let's go to verse 2. Now, it says a time to be born. To be born is not the issue. It says a time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. Please look up. When a woman gets pregnant and after 3 months, under any kind of condition, she feels like giving birth. Do you call that delivery? Are we together? Why? Timing. Timing. The same thing she's afraid of now is the same thing you'll be praying for when she gets to 9 months. You name them, and for one, you call that losing a child, and for another, you congratulate and call it delivery simply because of timing. Are we together? A time to be born. Then it says a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3, please. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. Let's have one more verse. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. The constant word in all of these verses is time. So everything we do under the sun, governed by the law of time and seasons. That is the first thing I want you to know. Two, the second thing I want you to know is that God himself, in his dealings with men, he respects times and seasons. God does not dwell in time. God does not need time. But when it has to do with his dealings with man, he limits his operation to subscribe to times and seasons. Hallelujah. In the Greek, there are many words that express times and seasons, but I want us to discuss two of them. We're looking at times and seasons. The first is the word chronos, chronos, the word chronos. Chronos means the passage of time, the sequential movement of time, or the quantitative movement of time. That means seconds, minutes, hours. The passage of time is what the Bible calls chronos. Hallelujah. And then there is another word called kairos, k-a-i-r-o-s. They're all Greek words that express time. Kairos. Kairos means a defining moment. It means an opportune time. It doesn't just mean a passage of time. It means a moment in time where certain things, whatever happens within that time, will have a prolonged effect on an individual. Hallelujah. So we have chronos, the passage of time, the quantitative passage of time, by the minute, by the second, by the hour. And then we have kairos. It talks about moments, seasons within time. Hallelujah. Are we learning already? Now, please listen. There is a dimension of grace that is released in every time and in every season. There is a dimension of grace that comes with every time and comes with every season. In other words, there are supernatural possibilities that if you have the discernment, you can experience them simply because you align with certain times. There's no time to deal with the story in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 is a classic example. The man at Gate Beautiful, remember the story? The Bible says that man was there for 38 years. And the Bible tells us that at a certain time, not every time, If he just fell in the water at a time that the angel did not come to stir, he would just come out wet but not healed. The Bible says at a certain time, an angel would come and stir the water, and whoever was discerning to fall first. As merciful as God is, you would think that when the water was stirred, so many people should come, and yet that time could only accommodate one discerning person. The first person, I don't know what was wrong with that man, that 2 years became 5, became 10, became 15, became 20, became 30, became 35. Jesus had to look at that man, and the Bible says he was there for a long time. What was his offense? He was near the water. Are we together? He knew what to do, but he missed the timing. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. So there are graces and there are possibilities that are attached to every time. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 11, the Bible says he makes all things beautiful, not every time. Please give it to us. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He makes all things beautiful. He had made everything beautiful in his time. Notice he never said your time. He had made everything beautiful in his time. That means if you can understand the sequence of God's spiritual timing and the way he works, your life will be an expression of the beauty and the glory of God. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Time is so important in scripture that in Psalm 90 and verse 12, the psalmist gave us a very strong counsel. It was a prayer. He said, in your prayer, ensure that you pray and say, oh, teach us, so teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There is a relationship between your walking in wisdom and understanding times and seasons. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Paul was mentoring the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm giving you a few scriptures before I begin to teach. 5 from verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. He says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly means accurately. Walk accurately, not as fools, but as wise. Where is the wisdom there? Redeeming the time. The word redeem means to buy back. Are we together? He's saying redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17. Hopefully we'll get into that one tomorrow. He said, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. One last scripture, John chapter 9 and verse 4. Jesus himself was teaching. John chapter 9. Let's read together. These are the words of Jesus. Ready? One to read. I must walk the works of him that sent me. While it is day. Hold on. Why would Jesus sound so limited? Jesus, Almighty Jesus, the Word of God, the incarnate of the Father, he's saying, even for me, since I have become a man, I have submitted to times and seasons. In other words, if I waste my time, there will be consequences even as far as redemption is concerned. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. He says, the night cometh. He didn't say it may come. The night certainly will come. And when night comes, no man, provided you are a man, you will not be able to walk. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. He says, the night cometh when no man can walk again. Are we together? Now, most believers do not understand the power of time. I have taught and I have read from scripture that the zenith of dominion is dominion over time, not over things. You can have dominion over things, but you are not truly walking in dominion until you can have dominion over time. The greatest desire of a dying man is not more things. The greatest desire of a dying man is not more influence. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 38, the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah pleaded for more time. That was his prayer. Give me time. Because the moment you have time, every other thing can be restored in time. Are we together? You can see that when God wants to show men mercy, he restores years more than things. I will restore the years, not just the things. You can lose money and get it back. You can lose your health and go to the hospital. But if you lose time, that is the end of it. In fact, did you know that you call the entire journey from when a man is born to when he dies lifetime? Lifetime. For as long as his spirit can coexist with his body, if it is 2 days, then his lifetime is 2 days. If it is 100 years, his lifetime is 100 years. You must understand timing, because most believers think all times are convenient for everything. At the end of this teaching, God will plant in you a sense of urgency. There will be a divine sense of urgency in your life, and you will know that whatever wastes your time is of the devil. Because that is the most expensive commodity. Are we together? Second to the salvation that you have gotten in Christ, the gift of time. Time is an equalizer given to everybody. With all the advancement in technology, nobody has been able to add more time as an asset. We have mastered the way of creating robots, artificial intelligence to help accelerate us, but God in his wisdom ensured that time remains the equalizer for all men. If it is morning in Nigeria, provided you are in Nigeria, it will not hurry and become afternoon for you. It goes slowly and everybody submits to it. 12 o'clock in Nigeria is 12 o'clock for everybody. 6 o'clock in Nigeria is 6 o'clock for everybody. Within that time zone, everybody helplessly has to wait for that time. Are we together? So time is a blessing. It is an equalizer. Unfortunately, when Satan comes to a man's life, the first thing he does is to study your understanding about time. When he finds out that you do not have an appreciation of the blessing and the divine significance of time, he will occupy you with activities so that you will think just because you are engaging in several activities, it means that you are working with time. He says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Praise the name of the Lord. There are people who have wasted time on mundane things, wasted time pursuing things that have no purpose, no eternal value. Are we together? And at the end of their lives, they would look back in regret and say, I wish I had time. I wish I had time. I wish I had time to do this. I wish I had time to do that. When God wants to help men, he grants them wisdom to understand time. Now, please look up. This issue of Chronos and Kairos, let me say a word or two about it. In every man's life, watch this now. Chronos, which is the passage of time, remains with us for as long as we are alive. But Kairos, this opportune time, does not come all the time. I want you to please listen. Let me explain Chronos and Kairos for you. Please look up. Imagine with me a student who is in school, right? That student is expected to read and prepare because there would be exams all the time. Is that true? But for a student, say in secondary school, There's something called Junior WAEC, and there's something called the Senior WAEC. Now, all exams are important, but those two exams can define the next seasons of that person. Is that true? Now, those periods are called Kairos moments. So every time the student is expected to be serious, every time the student is expected to read and give his or her best, but when you see students who are preparing, say, for JAMB, you see the kinds of skills that they employ because they understand that this is a defining moment. If I miss this, I may have to wait 1 year again. Are we together? And so you see people waking up in the night. Are we together? You see all kinds of chain readings. People begin to deploy all kinds of creativity to make sure they maximize that moment. And a wise person will not say you are working too hard, because they know that this is a Kairos moment. So even when you see them stretching themselves beyond the usual way they would read, you only encourage them, you don't stop them, because you know that if they miss out on that opportunity. Another example, imagine with me a student who is writing his final exam, say in law school. You see, that student has done everything, and I mean, the student is mandated to read and give the best, but for that final exam, if it means there are people who fast while they are reading, pray while they are reading, play worship while they are reading, soak their legs in water while they are reading, any skill by all means, everything that becomes an advantage to maximize that moment, because there are moments that when you miss, that is the end of it. Are we together? So we have the gift and the advantage of Chronos, the passage of time, every day. But the Bible teaches us that in every man's life, there are not many of these seasons, but they are there. And that you have to discern the technology of their arrival. You need to learn how to know that you are in these seasons. Because for a man, sometimes in an entire lifetime, you may not have more than six of these seasons. And for some of us, we've already lost two or three. So it will take the grace of God to catch up. Pay attention, please. Hallelujah. That in a man's lifetime, you will not have these defining moments come all the time. For instance, a man who wants to become a professional footballer at age 60, you see, his zeal is correct, his vision is correct, but he missed a Kairos moment. And that there are no biases to that Kairos moment. There is no club sites that will take him, no matter the skill. The system that has been built around that field forbids that he will be part of it professionally at that age. Are we together? Is someone learning now? That means it is not enough to have vision. You must understand the timing component to life. I must walk the works of him that sent me. Hallelujah. When the disciples saw Jesus, they discerned a sense of strange urgency, and the disciples wondered why Jesus seemed to be up and about. I mean, you are the King of Kings, having all power. You claim you are the Son of God coming from heaven. What is the rush about? To the extent that you will forget to eat. After a crusade, you would think he should be resting. Then you see him with a woman at the well, and with the same zeal and passion. Then he says, "Gentlemen, I know you are tired. Let's go to the other side. We'll sleep in the boat while we are going." He himself was sleeping, meaning he was tired. We are not the first to start this busy schedule. Jesus himself. You see the scriptural backing for what we do. Hallelujah. And Jesus got to a point where he let them know that he had to do this because there was urgency connected to it. Paul the apostle, when Paul encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, the level and the extent of urgency that was in Paul, to the extent that if they locked him up in prison, he didn't have time sympathizing with his situation. He said, "Listen, I don't need your food. Just get me a pen and get me something to be able to write. In prison, all he was concerned, oh, this church, I've not visited them for 3 months. I'm sure some of these people, wolves in sheep clothing, will be in this church now. Let me write something to admonish them. If you came to Paul in prison to say, how are you feeling? That was not what he wanted to hear. How is this church doing? The church in this, the church in that. And then at the end, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course, not our course. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yes. So timing is really, really very important. Very, very important. When you give birth to a child, a young baby, it would be unfair and even wicked of you to now begin to flog the child to say, I'm talking to you and you're not responding back to me. No, you need to give that child time. After 5-6 years, and you find out, for instance, that the child cannot walk, cannot talk, that now becomes a serious condition. Is that true? Because you have allowed time. There are certain things that should have happened in time. Already I'm praying for someone in the name of Jesus. Whatever has eaten your ears, because I will tell you, do you know what the locusts and the cankerworms eat? They don't eat things, they eat years. There are spirits whose assignment is not your money. There are spirits whose assignment is not your influence. There are spirits whose assignment is your years. I will restore the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar. Let me speak to someone. You are here and you say, Apostle, I even gave my life to Jesus Christ late. Sincerely, I have lived all kinds of things, and as it is right now, it seems like time is gone. Thank God you came for this conference. I decree and declare, may the God who is the Lord of time bring restoration to your life. Hallelujah. Please sit down. When you understand the power of time, you will now know why God brought in 2 spiritual mysteries, Pastor Nat, to be able to help men to maximize destiny. Number one is speed. Number two is restoration. These mysteries directly deal with time. When God grants a man speed, why do you pray for speed? Why do you ask for speed? Hallelujah. If I left Abuja by road to come here, you cannot say I'm stagnated, because the car would still be moving. But the problem is, with respect to the time allotted, I may not arrive to meet the activity. Are we together now? So if I can outsource another agency that can help me, remember, my movement is with respect to time. So someone, for instance, and respectfully so, who left in the morning, most likely has not arrived by now. Are we together now? And then another person, both of us are enjoying movement. When you say, who are those making progress? All of us will stand. But who are those who are experiencing speed? You see, speed is the ability to do much within time. I'm saying all of this because when I connect it to our destiny and I connect it to these Kairos seasons, because I will be showing you prophetically that as individuals, as the body of Christ, as a continent, we are in our Kairos moment. How do you know you are in your Kairos moment? The answer is in Genesis 1:14. He said he made lights to signify time. That means there is a revelation. There is always a body of spiritual truth that helps you to know what season you are in. He made lights, and he put those lights to signify seasons. You can use light, revelation, to know what season you have stepped into. There are many, many people. Listen, when a farmer, right now, this is November, December in Nigeria, and we call it dry season, it would be unwise for a farmer to go to the farm right now. Is that true? And then start farming and not look for an alternative source of water. Why? Because you do not have an advantage of rain. Well, maybe in Lagos here, I don't know how it works. Are we together now? But generally speaking, in Nigeria, we have what we call the dry and the rainy season. A farmer does not need to worry about rain when it's rainy season. He just farms and he allows the advantage that comes with the season. Are we together now? There's what we call irrigation. Irrigation means you try to simulate rainy season in dry season because you want the crops to grow, but that the season does not give you that advantage. You have to outsource through technology another route. So many people have missed certain seasons. I'll give you an instance. There are people who God deliberately brought close to others within a particular season, and they did not discern why they were there. The man will keep asking them, can I help you? And say, no, don't worry. Little did they know, the man had only 2 years and he will relocate somewhere. And there were Kairos moments. Maybe God granted you access to someone in government. It was by God's grace. And the man was benevolent. God gave you unusual access to his ears, his heart, and his hands. But because you could not discern seasons. Hallelujah. Jacob said, the Lord was in this place, but I knew not. Do you know? Because Jacob did not discern the season in Genesis 28. You know his punishment for that? 20 years. Jacob paid the price. 20 years, 2 wives, and 6 extra years. After 20 years, Jacob said, I need to leave. And in chapter 32, when God was coming to him again, he said, this time around, he held him and said, I will not let you go. I'm already this long behind schedule unless you bless me. I will not let you go. If my time with you will be this night, I will utilize the time and gain back 20 years. I'm going to be showing you how to redeem time, because there is a technology that has been given to the believers that when we engage it, we are able to redeem and cover time. Hallelujah. It is on the strength of these systems of advantage that the Bible says, for we know that all things can work together. So don't say, I gave my life to Christ at 40. I mean, the time, I'm already halfway gone. Don't worry. There is something you can do with God. He designed a system in his economy where your 1 year can be what your 10 years would have been. Do you believe this? In the name of Jesus Christ. How do you prepare for these defining moments, these opportune seasons? You prepare for Kairos by maximizing Chronos. That means every day, the passage of time is the raw material you use in preparing for these defining moments. You do not waste every day and waste every time and expect to just stumble into opportune times. Let me give you an instance. Let's assume, for instance, that a young music minister is trusting God for visibility, that God would announce the person. It is not the day the opportunity comes that he prepares. Are we together? The opportunity, the time he's looking for is Kairos, but his performance during the Kairos moment will depend on what happens in Chronos. David prepared for the palace, not in the palace. David took advantage of his Chronos. Are we together now? He learned how to sling. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. It is interesting that nobody was there to record and capture it. However, the justice system of God preserved that he was still using his Chronos properly. One time, I like how God announces men. The Bible says that the father told him, listen, go and feed your brothers. And he only took food and heard a beast roaring. And he said, what is the meaning of this? They said, this man, Goliath of God, 6 fingers, 6 toes, young man, go back home. Immediately, he said, what shall be done? What shall be done to the man who takes this guy down? And they said all kinds of things. And he said, listen, I'm able to do this. Listen, don't bring shame on our family. We are warriors. And he said, listen, don't disrespect me for wanting to take advantage of my Kairos. Let me defend my preparation. I was in the wilderness. I was in the wilderness when the lion came, when the bear came. I tore it. And Saul looked at him and said, no, there's something. This man, this is not, he has prepared for the Kairos moment. And when he stood before Goliath, Goliath said, am I a dog, Israel? This is what you are bringing? And David said, listen, you come to me with your spears and with your bows, but I come to you in a name. I maximize my moments of preparation. I will bring you down and use your own sword, take off your head and give it to the birds, and with one sling. That is mastery. He didn't throw. The Bible does not give us information that he kept doing trial and error. He had done that in the wilderness. God is speaking to someone already. Listen, waiting for the day God will announce you is the recipe for remaining a mediocre forever. You prepare in prayer. God has told you he's sending you to the nations. The secret is not to start looking for opportunities. Sing my song, invite me. No, that's not how it works. Where nobody sees you is your greatest stage. The real stage is not where people see you. It's where you are alone. And you are praying, you are fasting, you are preparing. That is Chronos being maximized. Are we together? According to the law of times and seasons, I guarantee you. Remember, the Bible says for everything there is a season. That means your season is there. John remained in the wilderness. He was not wasting his time. He was eating locusts and wild honey, preparing himself, finding out the sign to identify Jesus. The Bible says until his season of appearing. When that season came with precision, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb. I have prepared seeing you. I know you are the one. There are many of us, we do not even know how the doors we are to enter look like, because we have been wasting the seasons of preparation, either in jealousy or competition and all of that, rather than preparing for glorious moments. Isn't it amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that the captain of our salvation, Jesus himself, he used 30 years to prepare for a ministry of 3.5 years. If you looked at Jesus, you would think that Jesus had delay in purpose. How do you prepare for 30 years? What is so special about your assignment? 30 years. And then after 30 years, from age 12, in fact, to age 30, theologically speaking, there is still a debate as to what Jesus was doing, because they were the silent days of Jesus. 18 years, we do not hear about Jesus again. What was he doing? Where did he go? The last thing we know about him is that he was in the temple listening to the doctors and asking intelligent questions. At age 30, we see this young man coming to be baptized of John. And John saw him and said, behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He said, I'm not even worthy to untie the latchet of your shoe. And he said, suffer it to be so that scripture will be fulfilled. He baptized John and the heavens were opened. He was full of the Spirit and he began his ministry. Within a short time, the Bible says his fame spread abroad, because the level of power and grace and wisdom, when he gathered the people and spoke, they said, we've not had this, not in this fashion. Who is this man? Where did he come from? They gave him, according to the synoptic account of Luke,